Hey, Fuzzbutts, and welcome to another episode of Fuzzy Notes, the show about the music made by furs. My name is Rue, and I will be your host as we listen to a variety of songs in a variety of styles at a variety of points during the show. Now, you may have noticed there was a slight delay between episodes, and that's, I'd say it's totally my fault, but I'm not taking the blame this time. First, I had website problems at work, and then I had aging problems with my birthday showing up and making the days seem longer and all that kind of stuff and distracting me. And then finally, my laptop died. So right now I'm actually recording this on my desktop computer, and it's really, really weird because I have this big monitor on one side, but I'm facing the other direction because it's hard to describe. But let's just say my setup is for laptop, not for desktop. So, yeah, at least the show's gonna be coming out, right? Right? Cool. So, I'm gonna get right into the music. We're gonna do a back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. Actually, only a back-to-back. Two in a row. And I have a few things to ramble about as per usual, but let's get started. As I said, it's a new setup, so it's a little different for me to look up the information I normally do, but I'm going to start off with Zoa with a song called Molto Allegro, Molto Allegro, and I'm going to follow that up with a track from Drax. So we're going to start off sounding super fancy this week. Drax has piano concerto in B-flat major. It is a live recording. Very cool. And but here first is Zoa with Molto Allegro on Fuzzy Notes. Glad to be back.
Major. Yes, so now A minor.
another amazing piece from Drax, and I love featuring Drax on this show, not only because the music is so amazing and so skilled, but also the fact that it shows how widely talented our crazy community is. Wouldn't you agree? It's a whole wide swath of fuzzy notes. Oh, see, I worked that in. I feel so amazing. That was Drax with the Piano Concerto in B major, and that was a live recording, and he was on piano there. So that was him playing all the piano bits, and he was playing live with other very talented musicians. And if you head back, actually, which would be very difficult to do at this point, but people in the future, Fuzzy Notes in the future, head back and listen to the interview with Drax. It was a CODA episode. I talked to him, and it's very cool. It's currently not available. Please ignore this in the future, because this is obviously going to change. Currently not available to check out because of restrictions on storage space on Podomatic. I'll get into that later or something like that. But definitely check out Drax's CODA episode once it is back up, along with the other like 78 episodes of Fuzzy Notes that are currently offline. Done. Enough of the complaining. So thank you so much. I'm sorry. I just read through the keywords on FA of Drax for this song. Check it out. It is definitely designed to catch as many possible people as it can. Before that, we had a new artist, somebody we've never featured before, Zoa with Molto Allegro. He is a leopard who is from, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Ecatepec. I'm sorry. In Mexico. And he loves music, wants to study composition and conservatory, and began to play guitar when he was 12, made his first song at 15, decided he wanted to be a composer at 16, started to play violin at 17. Crazy. Very talented. His favorite is classical and electronic, and you can also find his interests, what was that, leaning towards rock, instrumental, electronic, and weird pop. I like that. I've had a couple of people refer to the stuff I do as weird pop, so that makes me very happy to know that Zoa is into that as well. Enough talking about me. That was enough of me. Zoa with Molto Allegro before that, and that was a very fun track too. Did you guys have this like just giddy feeling while it was going on, and then the opera singer kicks in the end? Amazing. So thank you to both of you, Zoa and Drax. Zoa, Drax, Drag Zoa. If you guys got together, that would be your band name. Set and match. So there are a few things to talk about. One big thing is that in very soon, hopefully, once I get my laptop back, because my laptop's in the shop, I will be releasing an interview I had, a CODA episode, with Husky in Denial about his new album, Kung Fu, and his very cool album, so definitely check it out. I featured a couple of the tracks in past, for instance, Blue World and K, but definitely check out the really, really cool album. It is an EP, and I'm announcing something that doesn't matter much to anybody, but I guess I'll do it anyways. And it doesn't even matter yet because I haven't published it yet. But at work, I write a blog. It's at dalespeaking.com, and I'm one of the coworkers who blog on the site. And we are currently putting together our best of for 2014. And I will say right now, Husky in Denial's Kung Fu is on my best of list for 2014. So I throw a lot of love behind that baby. Also, while we're talking about album releases, The Singing Dog has an album, Instinct, which is out now. It's on CD Baby and Bandcamp as we speak, and it may have already spread to other places because obviously my notes are a little behind as a result of technological problems. But there you go. Nice. Instinct and Husky in Denial has his new album, Kung Fu, out as well. Woo-wee! A few crazy things going on also in the world of podcasting. I'm currently in development of a new podcast. But Rue, you should stop. You do too much. I know, roommates who are angry at me for doing too many podcasts. But this one's very exciting. And we're already up to about 16, 17 people who have asked to be involved. And I'm not going to say too much about it except what is already online and available to be seen, but it will be essentially kind of like This American Life, which is a podcast and radio show in the U.S. that looks at stories and takes interesting approaches to talking about various themes that affect life. You know, like just whether it's investigative journalism, looking at the housing crisis, to just literally looking at a theme like what did I learn in kindergarten, and sort of taking interesting approaches while talking to people and building sort of a narrative around that. And I'm going to do that with furries. We're at least going to try to develop something like that. So a group of us are going to be getting together, and we're going to start trying to build stories by contacting people, asking about things like artists and fans and how their relationship is, or species stereotypes. We're not talking like, it won't be like sitting around and talking like a conversational podcast. It'll actually be a bit more like This American Life or Serial or any of those podcasts, where it's a bit more of a narrative storytelling way of doing it. So yeah, so that's kind of cool. Also, I've been chatting with Tempe Okun, and we may have something cool coming down the pipe from him as well. Both of us getting together and trying out a different kind of podcast approach. That one would be more of a mini-series rather than a full, like, multi-episode series. But when that happens as well, I will get in touch with you. I will contact you. I will call you or text you. That would be really awkward. If I were to text you, I hope that you would be freaked out. Let's move into a bit more of the electronic-y, soundy kind of stuffy. And I'm going to play you something from Flip, a.k.a. Bunnies for Real. The song is called Elephant Song. And after that, I'm going to throw something on from our pal, DJ Ear. And it's going to be kind of a twofer, because you're going to be getting a DJ Ear remix of a Bandit song called Simulation. But first up, Elephant Song from Bunnies for Real here on Fuzzy Notes. We'll be right back. two awesome tracks, as per usual, from two of our favorite artists. We just heard, actually three. We could say three, because we have a twofer. The last track you just heard, DJ Ear's remix of Bandit Song Simulation. I've linked to it in the show notes. It is on Bandcamp, bandittheraccoon.bandcamp.com. You can find that album, pick it up, throw some money Bandit's way. That'd be really cool. And I've also linked you in the show notes to both DJ Ear and Bandit's Twitter, so you can check them both out. Cool? Cool. And before that, Bunnies For Real, aka Flip the Bunny with Elephant Song. Another cool track. Keep an eye on the SoundCloud, which is Bunnies For Real. And you'll see Elephant Song show up eventually. Right now, this is a very exclusive sneak peek for you. He's going to be going out and getting it mastered, so it'll be extra punchy. And those are two awesome tracks. I don't think there's that much I have to say about them, because they were good. Not saying that when I talk about songs they're bad. Just saying that when you are getting music from DJ Ear and from Flip, you always know you're getting some quality and some very cool dance tracks there. So definitely add them to your list, your Christmas list of music to remember. I don't know what that was. Hallmark moment. So I'm going to talk, ramble, time for rambling, and wanted to do one of my usual more rambly rambles about the subject of context. What do you mean, Rue? Well, I've noticed that there's sort of been an increase on FA in comments and on Twitter, obviously. Facebook, YouTube comments are always just a pain in the butt regardless, but this increase in comments of people being incredibly critical of music or critical of lyrics, critical of sort of anything in a creative realm where things are out of context. And what I mean by that is somebody will listen to 15 seconds of a track and think it sounds like something else, and then will bash it, not realizing the purpose of the song was meant to be inspired by that particular artist. Obviously, ripping off another artist is not cool, but if you're sort of doing an homage to them, I really don't see a problem with having a sound similar to them. And the example I am currently drawing from, I don't want to get into names, but there was a recent discussion on FA about one of the songs that I posted from my B-Folk collection. Now, if you are new to Fuzzy Notes, I am also a musician, and the current project I've been working on since about the early 2013, maybe mid-2013, is called B-Folk, where I am listening or watching low-budget films that are being reviewed by a very cool podcast you should check out called No Budget Nightmares. And my sort of contribution to this podcast, which is hosted by two friends of mine, but it's not really a podcast I'm a part of, but I really wanted to be a part of it. So I figured I can get involved if I write a song for the movies they are reviewing. So they get a really bad movie, say Kindergarten Ninja, which is a really, really bad movie. And then I treat that movie with respect, because obviously work went into it. I write a song for the movie and then they feature it at the end of the episode. So that's been my little challenge to myself. I think I've got about 20 songs now under my belt. They're on my SoundCloud. I released B-Folk Volume 1 on my Bandcamp, which is rugoyle.bandcamp.com. And it's a collection of mastered versions of 12 of those songs. And the context, obviously, is I'm watching bad movies and writing songs about these movies. So whatever genre or style or whatever hits me while I'm watching the movie is what I dabble in and I play in. And it's meant to be serious, I guess, to a degree, but it's also meant to be tongue-in-cheek. I'm trying to have fun with the music, with these movies. Somebody, this is where things get gray and confusing, and this is where I think context and also being clear if you're going to be critical of something. I've also seen an increase of people bashing something, and when asking for some kind of clarification, the response is either another insult like you're an idiot if you don't know, or I don't have to answer to you kind of a thing, which is, I don't know, really childish in my mind. But the person seem to be attacking the song and attacking me. And when I first thought they were kidding, they continued on that route. And then when I asked for clarification, I had said I'm confused, because I was confused, because I'm not used to people getting angry at me for something that doesn't make any sense to get angry at me about. They basically said, well, then you just stay confused. And I was like, okay, since I have no facts to go on here, I'm going to assume that they took the song out of context, because the song was about a German slasher flick. And while watching it, I got the idea to do, essentially, it was a rap song, but it was going to be bad because I'm not good at rap. But I was experimenting, trying something different, and it was completely in the context of the movie I was watching. If you watch that movie, then listen to the song, they both kind of come together. But if you listen to the song independently of the movie, it's sort of its own beast, and I could see why somebody would listen to it and say that it was stupid, or in this case, it was white as hell, which, I'm sorry, I can't help but do that. But the main idea I'm trying to get at is always, if you're going to be critical of something, take the time to look at the context of the thing you are criticizing. It might change your opinion about why you have criticism. And if you are critical to a creator or to somebody for a comment they made and they ask for clarification or want to discuss it with you, you took the time to be critical. It would be kind of cool if you also took the time to explain yourself. Maybe I was in the wrong. I don't know how, because other than that one criticism, everybody seems to feel either it's a stupid song, which is its purpose, or understand it in the context of the film and say, okay, I see where you're coming from. Wasn't trying to hit the ball out of the park. I was just trying to write a song for a goofy movie. And something else that has come up recently, I've been reading a lot about blogs and the blogosphere, specifically looking at how people manipulate information through blogs. There's a great book called Trust Me, I'm Lying by a guy called Ryan Holiday. He used to do everything in the world imaginable when it came to manipulating blogs, from sending false tips to get people to write about companies he was working for so they get free advertising, to leaking fake advertising that was controversial, that was never intended to actually be an ad campaign, but kind of inadvertently became one when everybody started writing about how shocked they were by it, spreading the images around, thus being an unpaid, didn't have to pay for that ad space. There's a lot of context you have to think about with information you're getting online. And with blogs, they don't do the same kind of fact-checking that you get with something like a newspaper. Now, newspapers haven't been doing that well recently either, but there is sort of a general sense that you look for sources, you try to confirm that the information you're getting is correct, and then you send it out. Well, with blogs, it's kind of the reverse, where you put the information out, even if it is just a rumor, you word it as, we are following this story, even though there's maybe no confirmation that any of it is true, and then it's up to the reader to check for information, or it's up to the blogger to eventually put the further information that clarifies it. The problem is that a lot of bloggers will do this to get views, because views mean advertising dollars, and then a lot of bloggers will also not actually put a correction when new information's in. Instead, they'll just add the new information at the bottom of the post, but not actually change the title to reflect the fact that the information in the title is no longer correct, if that makes sense. Be very skeptical of stuff you're reading online. Be very skeptical of when you're outraged or annoyed by something. Be very skeptical that maybe you missed a bit of the context before starting to get angry, because it will, all of this that I'm getting to is, I was not very upset by what happened to me, because it was just somebody saying their opinion, totally entitled. But if that person had then started going around making other statements and using their original criticism as a basis, you never know how big that snowball is going to get when it's rolling down the hill. You never know when somebody's going to make an offhand comment that will suddenly be taken as true by another person, spread throughout the furry fandom, which is very small. This is a small fandom, a lot of people, but it's a very small community. And next thing you know, an artist or a writer or just a furry that made a comment suddenly finds themselves having to defend themselves for something they didn't even actually do. I almost felt at one point with the song that I felt I should defend the song. I was like, no, I shouldn't have to defend this song. A, the person who's criticizing it is not actually giving me anything more to go on, so I don't know what they were really angry or upset or annoyed by. And B, it was out of context, so it would be kind of like defending myself for somebody hearing two words of a sentence, finishing a sentence for themselves, and then telling everybody that's what I actually said. So I just wanted to ramble about that. It's kind of been on my mind the last two months since I first made that post. And I was going to just kind of let it go, but I realize there's a bigger question there, which is how many people take the time to look at the context in which something is written, a piece of art is written, or a story is told, or anything like that. Words to live by. I don't know. What do you think about that? Get in touch with me at Potoroo, P-O-T-O-R-O-O, on Twitter. I'm also on for Affinity with the same name. And obviously, fuzzynotespodcast@gmail.com is a good way to email me if you have a big, long novel of stuff to say. And I'm always reading it, even if I don't get back to you super fast. Because life gets busy, don't it? Don't life get busy? Yeah, I'm going to get on to some music and then something less ranty. I felt like what would be a modern equivalent be? I was going to say like Dennis Miller or Dennis Leary, but that really dates me, doesn't it? Boo, roo, boo. I'm going to play you a song next from a 19-year-old English male. The song is called Stripes, and the album, or the artist, sorry, is Vixavian, published by Procellion. Sorry, I really butchered that. Procellion on DeviantArt, YouTube, for Affinity, and Vixavian is their musical alias. So definitely check out her music, Vixavian's music. And why would you have to check it out? I'm going to play it right now. Here it is, Vixavian with Stripes on Fuzzy Notes. very bassy track there from Vixavian, the song called Stripes from Project V, which is going to be the sixth album. It's about Vix herself finding a new warmth for strong bass riffs and dubstep beats, and was a technological jump as well. In the note that I got, said that it was a jump from FL Studio to 10 to 11, so there were some new instruments to play around with, which is very cool. You may know Vixavian, who is an alias for another person who goes by the name of Procellion. And Vixavian is the musical alias of Procellion, who you may know from Fur Affinity, also is where you will find the music online, at least on Fur Affinity, which is linked in the show notes, so go check it out, and go check out Project V with the song Stripes. I'm going to play one more song today before we head out, and this one's kind of cool. I've been wanting to play this for a while because it is the first step towards something I would like to do in future more often, and that is to get artists to record a bit of an introduction, or at least like an audio description of something they're up to, maybe even tell a story. I don't know. I just want to play around with Fuzzy Notes a bit more. We're already playing around by bringing in guest hosts with Acid Rain and with Fayette coming in as guests, and they'll be doing that again, hopefully in the near future. But I also wanted to try some new things out. So this is an example of that. Now, it's our first time around doing this, but I'm going to play you something from Chiel, a.k.a. Goja. It was known as Goja previously, now known as Chiel. And this is a song called 27, but I had Chiel send me some, let's just do it. Let's just go do it. Let's like not even try to explain it. So I'm going to go into this. Tell me what you think. This is maybe a new approach for doing some of the songs on Fuzzy Notes in the future. Let's just go.
Hey guys, this is Chiel. I'm here to explain my story behind 27. So, I've been listening to Danger a lot lately, and he's one of my favorite artists, and I really wanted to do something with his style in mind, but I also wanted to put my own twist on it and have it flow a bit more smoothly. I named this song 27 because at the time, someone close to me was saying that they were feeling old because they're 27 years old. Now, I believe that age should not determine whether or not you're old, you know. Not to say sound cliche, but age to me is just a number. Doesn't matter if you're 50, you can still be young at heart. I believe that we become old when we let go of our inner youth. Not so much our inner child, but our inner youth. And this song, to me, reassured me the fact that I'm in my mid-20s does not necessarily make me old or older. I'm not getting old. That's my choice. And for me, I love my music. It fills me with a feeling that you can't find when you're old. So the fact that it still gives me that feeling means that I'm not old.
We'll be right back. done this.
Awesome track from Chiel there. That was 27. And what did you think of the little intro bit there? I'd like to hear what you think, because I kind of want to go down that route when possible. Obviously, not everybody's always able to record something, send it in. For instance, I want to get the shout-outs back into Fuzzy Notes. I want to get little intros like that, or to have a question every week asked to all the artists, and whoever can get a little recorded anecdote or a piece of advice or whatever, put them all together so that the show is a bit more dynamic, a bit different than just me rambling at you every week. Right? Right. So let me know what you thought of Chiel's intro there and having the little sort of separation of Rue music. Cool. So that is Fuzzy Notes for this week. I'm going to be heading out. And I am hoping there will be a new episode next week. If it's not me, it'll be one of our guests. If it's not any of us, assume that something else that I own broke. If you have the time and the love, please head over to iTunes, leave a rating and review, or just spread the love to people. And don't forget about the Fuzzy Notes fan challenge every single week. If any of these songs, you just love them, if all of the songs, if you love them, any songs that you loved or any furry musicians that you found this week that you really want to support, head over to their Fur Affinity and favorite one of their songs. Leave a comment if you have something to say. Share it around for people to know. It means more than you could possibly know, or maybe you do know and you just haven't been doing it, or maybe you do know and you have been doing it. I wish I could find that kind of stuff out so I could send out certificates, but regardless, throw some love towards some furry musicians. Preferably not at their face. They may need those. But definitely go out and follow people on Twitter. Follow them on SoundCloud. Put hearts and likes and thumbs up next to things that they do. And that will be really cool. And I think that's it for this week. Sound good? Good. Okay. If I missed you this week, you will be in next week's show. I apologize. But that's just how the cookie crumbles. And speaking of that, I would like to go get a cookie now. So I'm going to head out now. Take care, everybody. Love you. Bye.